Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, we have our assignment from yesterday, which was, as you look at many people's lives, you see that they're suffering in a way gratifying. Their suffering is in a way gratifying, for they're comfortable in it. They make their lives a living hell, but a familiar one. Today, take a look at some of the familiar suffering that has become comfortable. Practice dropping the conversation whenever you notice it and turn your attention to the sky, a tree, something you love. Keep your attention here until you feel yourself come into presence. Create a new recording about your absolute commitment to ending suffering and your willingness to exchange a familiar hell for an unfamiliar but joyous alternative. It's a powerful assignment. I can attest to that
big one. Yeah, me too. Yeah. All right.
Okay, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Can you
hear
me? Yes.
Uh-huh.
This is Deb, and I'm calling from Kentucky, and I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome, Bev. It's great to hear from you. What are you seeing?
Well, first of all, I'm very grateful for this. I discovered Living Compassion about 8 years ago, and I've participated. I have an established setting practice. I listen to the archives. I've read the books. I've done email classes. But in this last year, I just felt like I wasn't moving forward like I should, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm practicing,
mm-hmm.
and so I was challenged. I thought, I need to step up my game. I need to start participating, not just being on the fringes,
mm-hmm.
listening. And even though I was doing it faithfully, I felt like that's probably what was missing. And so I...
That's very wise. I would just like to stop and underline that for you right there. That's a very wise insight that dropped in, and you received it instead of letting conditioned mind argue with it. Very good.
Well,
what happened next?
When you're suffering, you know, you look for new ways to go forward. And so I joined a group coaching class in December, and it very much was very beneficial. I signed up after that for a coach, a Zen coach, and then I decided, okay, I'm going to do Project Joy. And all of these things, it's really upped my game. It's taken me to a new level. I know this works. I've experienced it, but I felt like it's time for me to kind of move on to the next level. And it's just been very, very wonderful for me. It's given me, especially doing Project Joy assignments each day, has helped me fight or, you know, overcome or not listen to the voices. And I'm just very
mm-hmm.
thankful for this. It's just been a wonderful experience. And I'm looking forward to even growing more and going to the next level. So it's just been great.
Uh-huh. Well, it's great for all of us to hear that. It's inspiring because that awareness and what you have done with it is what's required of us in practice if we are going to end suffering. The thing that's so wonderful about awareness practice is nothing else is requiring anything of us. It's just the desire of our own heart, right? So this is what I must do if I am to be freed from that negativity and conditioned mind. This is what I must do if I'm going to live from the heart
and
to recognize that and take the steps. Yeah, go ahead.
What I have found, of course, is it seems so simple, but it works. And I know there are many mornings I will get up and, you know, conditioning has just been on me. Because I am, you know, I'm serious about this. Instead of just
yes.
going for a few weeks and giving it up. So he is stepping up his game. And I'll get up in the morning and I'll be, this is not working. And then when the caller that day, it's almost like I called in. It's like whoever called in is expressing exactly what's going on with me. So that is very helpful and encouraging and gotten me through many days. I'm thinking it's not just me.
Right. Yeah, that's the power of us doing it together, isn't it?
Yes. So thank you.
Yeah.
And just every tool, if you do it, it works. So I'm going to keep with all my heart doing it. So.
Yeah. Well, that's a quotable quote, Bev. With every tool, if you do it, it works. In fact, I go off on this every chance I get, but because I have a history of depression, profound, serious depression, not just kind of the blues, but suicidal depression. And as you say, no matter where we are in practice, that conditioning will attempt to work on us during the night. It does. The Buddha practiced every day of his life. And from that, I've always taken that because if you try to stop that negative force is going to be right there attempting to take place in your life again. And so waking up in the morning and no matter what kind of a day it is, what's been going on in the night, wake up. For me, it's have a cup of tea and do recording and listening. And by the time I finish that tea, I'm here. I'm ready. Now let's meditate. Let's get on with the day. Let's do whatever comes next. And because, but as you say, when we use these tools, we find out that they work and that we do have a choice. We do not have to live in suffering, but we do have to follow the insights that drop in, such as it's time to up my game. I need to have more of a focus, because the focus I've had has gotten me here, but here is not where I want to stay. Here is just a place on the path. I'm a person who's walking the path. And so what now, what now, what now? So thank you for this. You've just given a little wonderful little tutorial on how to do this.
But I have found that without a doubt, I'll just be sitting there and I'm present, and it does. It just drops in, and it's like, and it always works out. If I follow that, it always works out. So thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
I look forward to seeing where this is going to take me this year. So thank you very much.
Oh, me too. So you let us know, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Deb. Bye-bye.
Bye, Beth. Such a beautiful demonstration of the practice of the exercise, right?
Oh,
We get to become aware of the familiar ways in which we suffer and choose to do something else.
Yeah. Well, that was just, step by step by step by step, how to do this. So that if somebody were, just dropped in on that conversation, had never encountered practice before, they'd have a great recipe for how to get going and how to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very good.
Yeah,
it's exciting,
wonderful, and so inspiring too.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Okay. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Kate in Australia.
Oh, hi, Kate.
Hello, Kate.
How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, just echoing the gratitude that everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people are sharing for this practice and how impactful it has been and how, it's changed my practice, changed my experience of life, and just so enjoying being connected to Sangha every day, having something to practice with every day, and the way that just is able to support the intention to want to be, to want practice at the center of my life every day. It's just been wonderful.
And part of that, what occurs to me when you say that, Kate, is because it's something new, right? I mean, we all know, come back to the breath, come back to the moment. But after a while, it's like, somehow that's not, I'm not sparking to that the way I used to. But this, right. You know, a slightly different focus, just a different phrasing, and it gives us that new inspiration that I personally think is essential in practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're so right. And how that's so much like what we were practicing with yesterday. Kind of what you just said is, for me, with the recording and listening about yesterday, the first couple recordings I was making, I noticed myself being very judgmental. Like, I was really focusing on the ways that I am comfortable with familiar suffering. And I made towards the end of the day, what dropped in was, rather than focusing on how I'm familiar and attached with suffering, the joy of the experience of the unfamiliar, when something is new or unfamiliar and mm-hmm. you're willing to jump into that, mm-hmm. how much joy that can bring, which might not seem apparent when you first make the decision to jump in. And it was really...
That's right, because when you first make that decision, the voices jump in with you, right? With the, mm-hmm. oh, don't do that. That's whatever the version is. You know, that's scary, or that's threatening, or that's going to be too hard, or you don't have time, or you're too busy, or you don't want to do that. It's hard to get to the excitement immediately, right?
Right, right. And the idea to, I think Ashwini said this, I think in this, it was either at a retreat or on this call, but it was when we were working with the stuff around fear really early on, and in some of those assignments, I kind of attacked some pretty large fears that I have been struggling with for years. And what was really significant about that was that there was nothing fun or exciting or pleasurable per se about actually addressing that and confronting that that process,
mm-hmm.
but the
mm-hmm.
joy and freedom on the other side that I get to experience now every day, that's no mm-hmm. longer, I don't have to live with the attachment or with that fear anymore. So, and Ashwini had said something that was about, it's not necessarily that that's a really like, that feels wonderful and enjoyable and great, but what feels wonderful is being free from fear, and that's such a amazing place to be.
Yes. Yes. It's kind of one of the things we like to compare that to is fitness, right? So if you're not fit, getting fit is not necessarily a good time. It takes a lot of willingness and compassionate self-discipline, or just flat out making yourself get up and do it. But once you reach a level of fitness that you recognize for yourself that you're physically fit, it's joyful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So that same way with doing whatever we need to do to get out of that familiar suffering, to get past the fear, to get past those voices telling us that this is not what we want to do. Whatever it takes, don't expect that to be a lot of fun, but the rewards, oh my goodness.
Huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huge. And I would say, Kate, that at this point where you are in your practice, the process is sliding over into that fun category, right? Because now, realizing the process of ending suffering, we start looking for, and this is what Ram Dass was getting us to do, we start looking for the things that we can let go, because there's an excitement, a fun, a fully alive that happens when we see, oh, okay, that's a stuck place. Or that's a karmic place. That's an identification I'm taking this on.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's very much been my experience, is that kind of once you have mm-hmm. a taste for that, you just you do, you just want it. You want it more in your life. And you look for those opportunities to address it. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is where people who don't do practice look at us like we're lunatic, right? Because why would you want to do that? You know, what we're conditioned to do is avoid everything that's difficult, right? That's the strategy that most conditioned folks live in. And to say, wait a minute, you're going for all of the hard places in your life, all the places where you suffer, and you're going to run into that headlong? Wow, that doesn't seem smart.
Right.
It is.
Right.
And it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think kind of similar to what you're saying about exercise, I just want to add that, like, recording and listening practice, and even years ago when meditation practice began, how difficult it was. Just like, no, I don't want to do this. And I think of any excuse to not do this. And mm-hmm. it took years and years and years of just being disciplined about it. And then you just totally change your relationship to that content.
Yeah.
From,
yeah,
I don't want to, I don't feel like it, to it's just so much joy. If you could bring more and more of it into your life, you would do whatever you could to do that.
Yeah. And we're lucky people, right? Because what enabled you to do that, to have that willingness, that deep desire in you to keep going, right? That mm-hmm. even though everything, you know, ego is just screaming, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, and you keep doing it because you are so in touch with your heart. And that deep knowing that this is who I am and this is what I truly want, we can be so grateful for that experience because not everybody has it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much to both of
you
and
Kate.
The whole Sangha for participating. So I've just gotten so much out of everyone every day, and I feel so grateful to be connected to all of the wonderful people.
I'm grateful that you're connected. Now tell me this, what time is it where you are in Australia?
It is 4:18 in the morning on Friday.
Woo! Okay. Well, then, good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Have a lovely day.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Kate. Wow. No, that is
talk about willingness, huh?
I know. Yeah, and that was just, you know, Sherry, I love this conversation because it's so, everyone's experience is so, it's so relevant to the assignment. I don't know why I love that part of it, but the synchronicity of it just makes me go, wow.
We're so taken care of.
We're just so taken care of. That ability to see see the assignment from my experience. In other words, it's always a gift. There's always a way in which my experience is true to the assignment that I'm being given to look at.
Yes. Yes. And it's so what everybody else is. I think we were talking about it yesterday, that experience of, yep, oneness. Yep, we're all one. It's true.
Yes. And it's so helpful to see that, to hear people talk about it, and to realize what Kate was pointing at, that I'm true to my heart. I keep showing up.
Yeah.
This is not what any normal person would want, certainly an identified person would want, but I persist, and in the persistence comes a joy that I could not have comprehended, and that taste of joy allows me to keep doing it and then go to the place where you're talking about, where the process of transcendence becomes joyful inherently. I'm not just mm-hmm. addicted to the feeling of the great feeling of being fit, but I'm also deeply interested in the process of getting fit.
Yes. Yeah, so when the voice says, but you can't stop eating sugar, and that whatever that is, Guinness just kind of bubbles up and says, ooh, good one. That's where we're going next. Because there's such a deep conviction that identification is not me. Yeah. No, it's clear that ego karma orientation is not authenticity. And so, I know what this is, and I know what that is, and I know which I'm putting my money on.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere we read recently that different levels of consciousness are really just different gradations of an unwillingness to accept what we are.
Aha. Aha.
That the resistance to divinity is expressed as a level of lack of consciousness. And to me, what Kate was pointing at and Beth is pointing at, and it was my own practice with this assignment, is, you know, waking up into that familiar place of suffering, knowing that that is a barrier to that divinity, and then knowing that if I have to record till the experience of kindness becomes true, right? And so if I don't feel it just means that the barrier still exists and I have to keep going. And that comes from the training to know not to quit just because I don't feel what I'm supposed to feel. And that's what we get from practicing, that knowledge that we just have to keep going, and then we cross that line and then it's sunshine. Yeah. Whatever that version of sunshine
is. Yeah, it's that story that moved me so, of the father teaching his children to say thank you until you mean it.
Yeah.
You know, it's and that's, of course, what we do with recording and listening, is we just keep going until we reach center. We know we will. We just have to keep going. And we do. It's just the best.
It truly is. So here's our next caller.
All right.
We're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Jerry, how are you? Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, Jerry. It's Sylvia.
Hi, Sylvia.
Hello. Hi. It's Sylvia from Connecticut.
Yes. How are you doing?
Hey, Sylvia.
Good. Hi. First of all, I've been following Project Joy from the first day, and it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for offering this opportunity every day.
Our pleasure, truly.
Oh, my goodness. I think yesterday's assignment was, it was very powerful, because it made me reflect on about the power of conditioning and why it's so ingrained in us. I felt more than ever the need of this daily practice, because it's this old misery, this old suffering. It's so ingrained in our thinking. It's conditioning, and it will always come to us. At least, so it's almost like feel like you have to rewire the whole way you think, and it's a whole rewiring.
As we learn to, it is a rewiring, we could say that, or it is recognizing that there are two and maybe more, but we'll just go with two orientations, two perspectives that human beings can come from. One is that egocentric, karmically conditioned, self-hating process that most of us are very familiar with by the time we reach adulthood and recognize that we're suffering. Not that people don't suffer before that, but there's a conscious awareness of suffering and a desire to address that. And then as we move away from that, what we move into is the conscious, compassionate awareness that contains that process of habitual negative thinking of ego. Okay, and so as we disidentify from that conditioned orientation, we have a growing awareness that what we're stepping back into in order to see ego operating, to see that conversation in conditioned mind, we're stepping back into awareness in order to do that. And as that becomes more apparent to us, we have this growing sense that awareness is what we actually are. And that conditioned way of thinking is something that happened to us, that it's a brainwashing program. It is something that human beings are very capable of, okay? And it's been with us for as far back as human beings have been. There is that ability to experience ourselves as separate from life, to identify with that ego and believe that we're separate. But as we step back into awareness in order to observe that process, there is, again, that growing sense that this is what I am. This is what's always been there behind that program. This is how I'm able to listen to and watch that conversation in my head. The conversation in my head isn't watching and listening to itself. I, in quotes, am actually somewhere else in order to do that. Yeah? So that's why it's not necessary for us to do anything about that conditioned mind. We can simply drop it and turn our attention to the awareness that is all of this. So in that way, thinking, in the usual sense, becomes irrelevant.
Oh, I see. So not even thinking about it. What it made me realize is how much courage it takes, because it seems that, and work, it requires being, it's lots of courage, because it's like getting out of the usual pattern and getting out of the normal kind of the default mode on what everyone steps in, which is getting into ego and identifying. So getting out of that, it requires a lot of persistence and courage.
Yes, it does. Yes. And in Buddhism, of course, we say, and this is the reason that we don't proselytize, right? So in Buddhism, the understanding is that we will make this choice when we've suffered enough. And there's really no sense in trying to get somebody to do this before they're ready, because, as you say, it takes a tremendous amount of courage, willingness, and having suffered enough to be able to walk down this path. And there's no necessity. When we understand that there's nothing wrong, not understand it intellectually, but, you know, inside the marrow of our bones, when we know in the deepest place in our heart that there is absolutely nothing wrong, when we know that everyone is equal to their lives, adequate to what's happening for them, that for each one of us, it's our best opportunity to get to that place of insight or intuition, staying with that growing sense of there's got to be an alternative to this. Certainly, we don't have to suffer like this. That sense is growing, 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 and at some point, we get to the place of saying, okay, it's what Beth started us off with. Okay, I want to have a different life experience. How do I do that? now we're ready, right? And now it's just going back and forth between that locked in conditioned mind and being made miserable and kind of coming up for air periodically into the other possibility. We do that for a while, and then at a certain point, this is what we were talking about with Kate, at a certain point, you say, wait a minute, being up here in the air feels way better. I don't care how hard it is. Mm-hmm. I want to stay in the air, right?
Yeah, for me, it was like that. Like, there was enough. Like, I suffered enough, and to the point that I realized this is a matter of life or death for me. It's not just about suffering or being miserable. That's kind of okay, but no, for me it was a matter of life or death, and it's just,
yeah.
There's no other option, because I've you know, you reach your bottom and you have to. And to me, I need these routines. This is what keeps me with my serenity. I need my recurring listening, my meditation, because as soon as you don't do that. Yeah, it's just the old pattern. The ego just sneaks in.
Yeah, yeah. When you were talking about that earlier, the picture that dropped in. People often will say to me, "Well, how much do I have to record and listen? You know, or how much do I have to meditate?" And so I had this image of climbing up a mountain of I think it's called shale. You know, where it's really slippery stuff and it's hard to get a footing. And if you're concentrating and paying attention, you can make quite a bit of progress up that mountain. But as soon as you stop paying attention, you just start sliding down, right? And what people don't realize is that we record and listen for 10 minutes in the day, or I meditate for 5 minutes every morning, which is wonderful. I'm not saying that that's not wonderful. But by the end of the day, conditioning has taken us right back to the starting point, right? And then we wake up in the morning, the next morning, with, it feels like I'm starting all over. Well, I am starting all over, right? So that's where we get to that place of, that, again, Bev started us with, which is, I need to do more. If I want to actually make it to the top of that mountain, then I got to pay attention and keep climbing all day long, every day, not just for a few minutes when I take a break from conditioned mind and get present and pay attention to life. I need to pay attention to life more. I need to be at center more. And as we do that, that's how we see our life begin to change, and that's where the excitement, the fun of it comes in. So now this is trying to get me not to pay attention. I'm going to ignore that because I want to take this next step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Well, mm-hmm. That's what we're doing, right?
Yes, every day hard work, but I think to me it feels like, even though sometimes it feels like I'm back at square one, I don't think I'm back at square one. I think there's always something here that stays. I think something that stays, and it's easier than the next day to go back to.
That's right. That's how we know. And if we stay with our little mountain analogy that is so popular in spiritual practice, you know, you can tell the difference because the view has changed. Right? You're not seeing that view from the bottom of the mountain. You're seeing a view from up the mountain, and the next day up a little bit higher, and the view is getting broader as the awareness expands, as we spend more and more time in awareness and less time in conditioned mind.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. Wow. It's good, isn't it?
I don't want to take you more time, but it's great. Yeah, it is good. It's good work. I am grateful for it, very grateful.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. I just realized we're completely out of time. I'm sorry, Ashwini.
Sorry.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Ashwini?
Thank you, Sylvia. Oh, I'm talking because I was on mute.
Anyway, what I was going to say, there's so much in that conversation, and this whole morning's conversation about the process of practice that we all need to just go back and listen to it again. And here's our assignment, because we don't have time
to go back and listen to it again.
Yes. If you stop to be kind, you must swerve often from your path. Oh, I'm going to cry. Okay, today swerve a little for kindness sake. In fact, pay attention to what happens when you swerve a lot. What is it like to focus on kindness as the path? Record and listen every time you notice being present to kindness.
Lovely.
Here's the swerving up that mountain.
Here's to swerving up that mountain, indeed. All right, kindly as we go. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.